The RTE Rugby Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the RTE Rugby Podcast. I'm Michael Corcoran. I'm on tour with the British and Irish Lions in New Zealand. We are in Auckland for Saturday's opening test against the All Blacks. The head coach Warren Gatland naming his team earlier today, picking a side on form and naming Peter O'Mahony as the captain. He captained the side against the Murray All Blacks last weekend, captained the team pretty well and communicated effectively with the match referee Jaco Piper, who's also importantly in charge of Saturday's first test. Three other Irish players in the starting team, Conor Murray, Tadhg Furlong and Sean O'Brien, with Jack McGrath and Jonathan Sexton on the bench. Elsewhere, Liam Williams is at fullback and Elliot Daly has been named on the wing after both of them had pretty good performances against the Chiefs in Hamilton during the course of the week. Well, the team to play New Zealand in Saturday's first test sees Liam Williams at fullback, Anthony Watson and Elliot Daly on the wings, Ben Teo and Jonathan Davis in the centre, Conor Murray and Owen Farrell at halfback, Maku Vunapola, Jamie George and Tadhg Furlong in the front row, George Cruz and Alan Wynne-Jones in the second row, with Peter O'Mahony, Sean O'Brien and Tulupe Faletau in the back row. Ken Owens, Jack McGrath, Kyle Sinclair, Maro Itoje, Sam Warburton, Reece Webb, Jonathan Sexton and Lee Halfpenny are all named on the bench. Well, let's hear now from the Lions head coach Warren Gatland and the test captain Peter O'Mahony.
We came into our minds on Wednesday when we picked the team. You know, that was we've had obviously a couple of good performances from players and players. I think most people, when they've picked the team, they've been pretty consistent on the squad, whether it's been 12 or 13 of the same players consistently, and a couple of players that there was some good healthy debate about, and obviously it was the back three. But the message to the players and before we left the UK and Ireland was that to come out to New Zealand to play the All Blacks, you have to be bold, you have to take risks. And we've been saying that to the players and encouraging them to, yeah, we're playing to a structure, as every team does play to a structure, but having the confidence and the ability to bring an offloading game in when it's appropriate. And we've been trying to do that, not always effectively, but we think we've seen some development in that and some improvement, and get a couple of nice examples on Tuesday night of that coming together. So we know we've got to be courageous coming here. We know we've got to be bold, and we've got to go and play some positive rugby. The things that we've been working on in terms of our general stuff, in terms of our set piece, we think that's getting better and stronger from game to game. Defensively, we think we've improved. And now we just need to bring the other elements of the game, which is about playing with some fear, some flair, taking some risks and being courageous and bold. And that's the way you have to beat the All Blacks.
And Warren, what are you expecting from your side? What will be required to beat New Zealand on Saturday night?
We've got to be accurate for 80 minutes. We've got to stay alive. We know that there are periods during the game where they tend to almost like lull, and then they get one opportunity and switch and they just ignite, and that's when the most dangerous. So we've just got to stay alive for every moment, be prepared for anything. There'll be high tempo games, we're expecting that, obviously with some of the players in terms of the offloading threats as well. But that's what these guys do, and I think the excitement that's been generated, in particular in the last week or so, people were pretty excited about Saturday night, and we're definitely looking forward to it.
Now, you said that, in the last couple of weeks, that as this tour went on, this team were going to get better. I mean, is that reflected in your actual selection for that match?
Yeah, I'd like to think we've been consistent in the messages that we've been delivering about how tough it was when we first arrived, and that we would get better as the tour went on in terms of combinations. I think we've demonstrated that. I'd like to think that we said that we'd pick the team on form and players that are probably, be a lot of differences from the start of the tour to now in terms of what people had speculated the side would be. And so I think the messages that we've tried to deliver have been consistent from us. And now that the 23 have been selected, we're pretty excited about Saturday night. This is not about me at all. This is about the Lions and about this group of players. And I'm incredibly passionate about the Lions. I think it's something that we need to protect for the future. I think going forward in terms of the agreements that's been done between the Sanzo countries and the Lions. You know, we need to make sure that if the Lions are going to be successful, they need adequate preparation time, and they need to, you know, the adequate number of games in terms of before the tests as well. We took on an incredibly tough challenge in terms of the schedule, the opposition that we faced, nothing that the Lions have ever had to do in the past in terms of the quality of midweek teams. You know, if you're honest and look at the past, I mean, sometimes midweek teams have been just a bit of a frolic and a run around because the opposition haven't been tested, but we've been tested every step of the way. And for me, this is wanting this group of players to do a great job for the Lions and their future and as much about the heritage as well, because I think if we can protect this iconic brand and make it strong and healthy, then I think we can all benefit from it in the future.
It's incredible to be picked for the Lions, and then to be asked to captain them obviously is a huge honour. And now it's kind of it's down to business now, and it's down to a performance from the 23 guys that are picked, and you know it's a mind shift. You take in the fact you're selected, and then now it's on to the job. It's been great. I thought Toby's been probably the outstanding player so far. He's played incredibly well. Sean, he's carrying it really well. He's getting back into it. So it's been nice to play alongside, you know, two players of such calibre, and as you said, get some game time together and gel together. It's been good.
Peter, how enormous is the task of taking on New Zealand in their own back garden on Saturday night?
Look, it's a huge task. Obviously, the caliber of player they have, obviously their record in Eden Park obviously is impressive. But look, it's going to be a different animal this weekend. It's going to be 20,000 Lions fans there. When you grow up playing rugby and watching rugby, these are days you want to be involved in, and you say that about international games, but games of this magnitude and the Lions, it's where all these players that have been picked at the weekend want to be and challenging against the best in the world.
And can you talk about training this morning? We were outside in the rain, but there was a lot of noise on the pitch. Seemed to be a lot of communication, a lot of excitement.
Yeah, look, there'd be something seriously wrong if there wasn't excitement this week. The week that's in it, guys are hopping off the ground to go. You know, even the guys who played Tuesday night, you know, it's 48, not even 48 hours after the game, and they're out there getting stuck in as if they haven't played. You know, there's a huge amount of energy there. Guys are looking forward to getting back out, getting kicking on again from Tuesday, from a great performance on Tuesday, and getting back into learning and putting plans in action, obviously, for the weekend.
Well, that was Warren Gatland and Peter O'Mahony there, and one man with a key role to play on Saturday, certainly up front, is Leinster and Ireland prop Tadhg Furlong.
I think it's the pinnacle for any sort of rules player playing in Four Nations. I suppose to get a chance to go out and represent that and live a boyhood dream, if you will, is hugely exciting.
And I mean, you've come a long way. It must mean a lot to your friends, your family, you know, particularly those who have been supportive of you all the way through your career.
You know, their support has been great. And, as you say, always you think of the club back home where you started, your family who, you know, carted you here, there, everywhere, and everyone has helped along the way, from Tarf, Leinster, Ireland, etc. It's a very proud day for me and all those people.
Have you had many messages of support from back home?
Yeah, I woke up this morning, obviously the team was named before I got out of the cot, so there's a few messages there, and WhatsApps and texts and stuff, and everyone's been hugely supportive. And I suppose when that starts happening and the team is named and that sort of wave of support comes into you and the team, it really starts to kick start the excitement levels.
And it's a huge challenge, isn't it, on Saturday night?
Yeah, it probably doesn't get any bigger than the All Blacks in Eden Park, to be fair. So, we've prepped well as a team, and you know, we have a session this afternoon as well to keep going at things and perfect little things we want to perfect. So, looking forward to it. It's a huge challenge, but these are the sort of days that, you know, you play rugby for.
Is it fair to say that as the tour has gone on, everybody's got more used to each other, the energy level is pretty good, and certainly the competition for places in the starting team is pretty high as well?
Yeah, even if you look at the match on Tuesday, I think the front row that started, you know, did really, really well. I think naturally as well, as time goes on and you're getting used to I suppose the people behind the player as well, and getting into combinations and all, like, getting to know what your hooker likes or what way the second row jumps. No, that only helps and strengthen the bond within the squad and understanding between players.
And it certainly is up to those chosen in jerseys 1-8 to set the tone.
Yeah, it's a massive challenge for the pack. It's probably us to give the foundations for the back line to play off, and weather conditions permitting. I think there's due a bit of rain there in the morning. So you can probably expect the ground to be a bit greasy. So, as a pack, it's fundamental that we put our stall out early.
And can you just talk about the fact that there are a lot of leaders within the group, but it's Pete Romani is the captain. What does he bring as a Lions captain now?
Pete brings a dog edge, hunger and work hard. He leads a lot of time by his actions. And a lot of the unseen sort of work that he does. And I couldn't speak highly enough of him as a captain. And when you go into the trenches and the game comes tight, he's the man that everyone rolls in and follows behind. It's kind of weird, the sort of, I suppose, journey you take when you get your first international start and you're exposed to the big world that it is and the pressures that come with it. And as you sort of get used to it a little bit and spend a bit more time in that sort of environment and pressure, high pressure games, you can probably start relaxing and let your game play a little bit more. I think in November, you probably come out with a lot of confidence from that South Africa tour last year. Thought it went reasonably well in my first test against a good scrum. And in November then, when you start to pile minutes on minutes, it probably gives you that bit of confidence that you can start pushing towards or aim for something. But I think the real moment of focus for me this year was when Stuart Lancaster came in to Leinster. And obviously having worked and seen a lot of players and environments and a lot of the players that are here at the moment, he basically had a one-on-one when we sat down, and he said, from what I've seen, you can really push on and try to aim to be a Lion this year. And at the first I was like, geez man, what are you saying? And you probably didn't see yourself in that picture, but he probably backed you and I suppose gave you a focus and a goal to drive towards. My mindset are, you're thinking before we played the All Blacks in Chicago, and within the Irish group we had a lot of players that had played against New Zealand multiple times, a lot of players that had lost to New Zealand multiple times, and when they talk in team meetings and when they talk in previews and stuff like that, you're kind of looking into a black hole yourself. You're relying on other people's experiences. So you kind of, my first time playing against New Zealand, I didn't really know what to expect. You're on edge because they can cut you open at any stage. They've really well drilled strong forward pack. So probably from an experience point of view personally, those two games probably have helped on what to expect.
That is Tadhg Furlong there. I've been chatting also to the BBC Radio Wales commentator Gareth Charles after today's media session.
I've just been to both conferences, went over to the New Zealand one first as well, and Steve Hansen very relaxed, really enjoying himself and happy and taking it. Warren maybe a bit more nervous about what's going on and a bit more guarded, and that shows maybe the position they're in. It's such a challenge for the Lions in particular, playing in Eden Park where nobody's won since 94. They are improving, that's without a shadow of a doubt, but I think the pressure is very much on them, and this is such a crucial one to win the first one.
When you look at the team selections, obviously we knew, say, with the All Blacks that Kieran Reid was going to come back in. Maybe the fact that Ryan Crotty is in there is a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, that one, certainly, because he's played such a lot of his rugby as 12. But again, they got three good players there, and they feel that Sonny Bill is the guy who's got all the tricks. He can do everything, as we saw, creating that try for Ohio West for the Blues earlier on in the series. So Ryan Crotty moves over one. But they're happy with him or Lynnett Brown, and Lynnett Brown can do a job off the bench. And the other one, of course, is Rico Ioane as well, just 20 years old. And when you think that Wasalen Naholo hasn't made it and that Julian Sevilla hasn't made it, it really is putting a lot on this young kid who's performed, who could have been in the under-20s competition rather than with the full All Blacks here. But it shows the confidence confidence they have in him, and they're also confident in his aerial ability. So they are expecting the Lions to put up quite a few kicks, but they also know he is quick, probably the quickest in the whole squad. So give him the ball, and he can create problems.
And given the Lions' test selection, which has probably caught some people by a little bit by surprise, I mean, you know, in terms of the individuals that are there, defensively, they'll ask a lot of questions, particularly out wide of New Zealand.
Yeah, well, we saw at last in the last couple of games what they can do, and a couple of fantastic counter-attacking tries against the Chief. Liam Williams was very prominent in those, and that's won him a test spot. Nobody, I think, saw that coming. I think everybody thought Lee Halfpenny and his kicking, especially because Owen Farrell has picked up a leg injury. You'd have thought, OK, Lee Halfpenny hasn't missed a kick so far on tour yet. But they've gone for the exciting one, and they do know they have to do something different. Yes, the scrum has been excellent, the line has been excellent, defence has been superb, and that in its turn has got the wins against the Maori, against the Crusaders. It's brought mistakes against the Chiefs, so they're going to try and put that pressure on. But they know the All Blacks are up a level from anything they've met so far, so they do need the extra something. Warren has always said he's got a few tricks up his sleeve. Well, let's see if they work, because they certainly have caught us. Even us from Wales, who know all about these players, it's certainly caught us by surprise.
And when you look at out wide, what's in the wings, Elliot Daly one side, Anthony Watson the other, and then throwing the Liam Williams thing, I mean, gee, if that was a relay team, they'd be pretty quick, wouldn't they?
Yeah, you know, and that's the whole point. The back three is a unit now. They work together, and we saw the work ethic of Elliot Daly last week, and that's why he's also in there for his long-range kicking as well. But it is something that the counter-attacking in particular is what New Zealand are good at, but it's also what the Lions have to do. And the one thing they have to do is take chances. You're not going to get many against the All Blacks, so whatever chances they do create, and they have been creating, and up till now they haven't been taking that many, but that now has to stop here. The accuracy has to be there from start to finish.
A lot of people I spoke to during the course of the week said that Alan Wynne-Jones would be included. You know, a lot of people thought might be off the bench, but the point I made to a lot of people yesterday was I wasn't sure how good he would be off the bench. If he was in, he had to be in the starting team.
Agree totally. And it's interesting because the All Blacks are so effective in finishing games. They score a lot of points when they use their bench in the last 20 minutes. So get your workhorses on, get your real guys who are going to keep it tight for 20. And then if you're still in there, then Mauro Toje has a free rein then, and he can cause a bit of mayhem, can cause a bit of havoc. And it's a strong Lions bench as well. You've got to remember that Sam Warburton can come on and do a bit. If need to, Reece Webb can change things. Johnny Sexton can also offer something different. So it is a very strong Lions bench as well. And I think that could be crucial, because if it's that tight at the end, it is going to come down to the whole 23 rather than just the starting 15.
Now, we both know Sam Warburton well. You know him a lot better than I do, to be perfectly fair about it. I mean, he's always struck me as being a very level-headed individual, and will take the fact he's not in the starting team on the chin, and is a fellow who rolls up his sleeves to help out.
Yeah, there's no doubt at all it is a big knock for him. He will be very disappointed. But on the other hand, he'll be delighted to be on tour in the first place. Injury has played such an impact at the end of his season, didn't play for 5 or 6 weeks before coming off on the Lions tour, had another knock then in his first game here, so it has set him back. He knows the quality of the players in that back row: Peter Omani, Talupe Faletau, Sean O'Brien. Others could easily have got in there as well, but Sam is very stoic. He will take it on the chin, and he is very much a team player, a squad player. He's still captain of the Lions tour, and he will still give everything, and hopefully he'll make it for one of the other two tests.
Were you surprised that Peter Omani was the pick for captain?
No, I thought it would be either between him and Alan Wynne, but obviously Alan Wynne led the team for victory in Sam's absence in the final test in Australia 4 years ago. But Peter Omani did a great job earlier on in the tour, and the respect for him is obvious, and he is that kind of player where he will just get on with it. And yes, he'll bring on people around him, but he knows what it is. Typical Munsterman, yeah, give it everything, and you know, won't take a backward step, and you know, a quiet guy but a great leader.
I tell you something, I have been looking forward to this match for a hell of a long time. I'm now more than convinced than ever that the Lions have a seriously good chance of winning on Saturday night.
It'll take some doing in Eden Park, as I said. I mean, the bogey ground and things being what they are, obviously with the events in Christchurch, to have two tests in Eden Park is really, really difficult. I think the Lions need to win the first one. It's not over and done with if they don't, but they do need to win this one. Do you know what, Mike? Hey, it's right up there, isn't it? It's too close to call.
That was the BBC Wales rugby commentator Gareth Charles there. Well, staying in the commentary box, but moving to this part of the world, I've been chatting to the News Talk ZB rugby commentator Nigel Yalden about the sense of anticipation here in New Zealand ahead of Saturday's first test.
Well, as everyone keeps reminding us, 12 years in the making. We all know what happened last time the British and Irish Lions were down here. And I can't remember in my time, and there have been some pretty good series that have been recently, even World Cups. And I just can't remember the level of anticipation, the build-up. And part of the reason why we know there is a heightened build-up, there is that corporate aspect now that comes to both of these teams as well. So there's a lot more marketing and social media around it. But yeah, it is starting to hype quite significantly. And you always get a little nervous. You hope that these things meet the hype and expectation that come with what happens now in a modern society.
I'm getting the impression that it will, though, to be fair, because yeah. I know that the All Blacks had a hit out last Friday. It looked very impressive. Hard to judge against a team like Samoa.
Yeah, that was the thing, though. How do you gauge it, Corky? I mean, the thing I was looking for was low error rate, and they were actually reasonably error-free. Yeah. They were very, very accurate, very efficient, punishing the Samoan team, but a lot of people are drawing their attention to that first 20 minutes where Samoa were able to stress the All Blacks, get their scramble D, they were able to get themselves out of trouble. And really, once they got that turnover try to Bowden Barrett in the 30th minute, it was all one-way traffic from there. But there was enough in that first 20 minutes, and I think that would have been the main focus of what Steve Hansen and co were looking at as they build towards the test on Saturday. There was enough there to say, hey guys, come on, we've got to lift, and we've got to lift a lot, because they will be watching what the Lions have been doing. And whilst there's a lot of talk about, oh, well, they're not scoring tries, they're not doing this, the Saturday team is yet to lose, Michael Corcoran, as you well know. And if they win all their games on a Saturday on this tour, the Lions go home gods.
The one thing that I will say, in fairness to Warren Gatland, he has said right from the beginning that there aren't two teams, but effectively, as you said, I mean, you've hit the nail on the head. The Saturday team and the team that have featured on Saturday have been really impressive in everything they've done so far.
Yeah, you can say that, but we see it. There are two teams. Andy Farrell, speaking the other day, he made the comment about how the team that was going to play one game had a captain's run, and then the other team was going to have a run in the afternoon. By definition, that's two squads. You can paint it up as much as you want. I understand the philosophy there, but the simple fact is you can't prepare for a test match in 3 days. So your squad has to be known earlier in the week so you can get the proper full build-up. If you think you're going to beat the All Blacks at Eden Park by naming your team on Wednesday and preparing, that's rubbish. The test team knows exactly who they are, and they will have been preparing. So I think I can understand why they say it, but I think most of us who have been around rugby, Corky, know that it's a necessary white lie.
The All Blacks haven't lost since the last century in Eden Park.
It's not a bad... They go pretty well there. They go very well there, and that's the big challenge for the British and Irish Lions. They have to win at least one at Eden Park. Got to win one at Wellington, but if you want to break it down into its simplest forms, if you want to win two tests, you've got to win at least one of them at Eden Park, or you've got to win both. But that first one, I think it's just going to be so key to setting up. If the Lions could get that win at Auckland, one, but puts them 1-0 up in the series, but as you allude to, the fact that the All Blacks haven't lost there in such a long period of time, that psychological boost to that group, as well as the counter psychological blow to the All Blacks, that would be massive, pivotal in the series.
In a three-game series, the first one is absolutely gigantic. And I don't know about you, but personally, I think the Lions have a chance in the first game because of the fact that perhaps, you know, the All Blacks aren't as cooked up as they should be.
Yeah, I think most people have been saying that, and I think that's probably a fair assessment. I just get the feeling that Steve Hansen and his coaching group would have been able to put the grumpy faces on after what they saw. You saw some of the reactions in the coaches' box. They're scoring these beautiful length of the field tries, and you can just see them just writing their notes in their pad, no emotion, complete poker faces. So they know, like we've been hearing Warren Gatland say, it's all about the test series. There was a nice hit out on Friday night, but it's the same thing for the All Blacks as well. That was just a warmer to get them in the right space, or identify stuff they need to work on to get them in the right space come the Saturday night.
Now, when you look at the games that have been played so far, and you look at the way that, you know, the public of New Zealand have voted with their feet and their pocket to come and watch these games, some against maybe some depleted sides, maybe not some full strength teams, but certainly, I mean, this tour has been a pretty good success so far, even in terms of attendances.
Yeah, it's been very well marketed and very well promoted. We spoke about the corporatisation of it. That's, as I say, that's modern rugby nowadays, Mike. But there is still that older group that has got that very romantic view about what rugby tours are, what the Lions are. The key thing for me, for the Lions to continue and to continue to evolve, you've got to get that younger generation seeing it the same way. Now, it might not be the way that older generation view it or remember it, but you've got to get that engagement. That's that younger group that is going to keep the Lions relevant in New Zealand, in South Africa, in Australia, back home. It's the next generation. So that's why I think this is it's very interesting to see how this tour is playing out as well, from the social media side of things, the coverage side of things, the engagement side of things as well. And the fact that it is selling out, to me, says that there is still obviously a place for the Lions, and that there is a generation that is going to try and keep that and still cherish the Lions like we older type people do, Michael.
Thanks very much. Listen, what are you anticipating in the next couple of weeks?
Oh, I'm just expecting more great games of rugby. I'm expecting four more outstanding games of rugby. Tight, torrid, physical, pacey, intense. I think it's just going to be a belter. All three tests, and I know the Hurricanes, they're going to come hissing out as well, because there's a few of those Māori All Black boys that are going to be going back to the Hurricanes and saying, oh, I want square up, boys, can you help me? Because they were embarrassed on Saturday night in Rotorua. So I think that we're just going to see four absolutely outstanding games of rugby. It's going to be brilliant.
Would you be happy to see it go on to the final test match?
No.
Because I would.
No, I think everyone would love to. I don't think it is, but wouldn't it be great? And again, it's about keeping that would help, again, keep that Lions philosophy and the brand of the Lions alive. If they got swept again, there would be damage. I think there would be damage if they were to get absolutely, you know, blown off the park and get whitewashed. They've got to be competitive. And I think with what we've seen so far on tour, Michael, I think these tests are going to be more than competitive.
That was Nigel Yaldon there ahead of Saturday's first test. And don't forget, you can catch that test on RTE Radio 1, all wavelengths, on Saturday morning, just after 8 o'clock. For myself, Michael Corcoran, thanks for downloading, and we'll talk to you again soon.
The RTE Rugby Podcast.